It's the Vinyl Countdown.
Jonathan Charles.
And welcome to the show for vinyl lovers. Over the next hour, we're playing some very unusual instruments. So, let's rock and roll.
Dressed in their summer clothes. Jimmy. A man, did he look pretty ill? I said to him, you can't always get what you want.
Double shot of the Rolling Stones to kick us off. Paint It Black sounds as good today as it did when it became the band's sixth UK number one in 1966. And then we hop forward to 1969. You can't always get what you want. What do those tunes have in common? Well, they were performed using some very unusual musical instruments, which don't often appear in pop and rock. And that is our theme today. We're sitting here, surrounded as usual by 7 and 12-inch records, real vinyl. I'm joined in the studio by my son Max as we discuss the music. And Max, are you moved, or rolled maybe, by the Rolling Stones? That was a bad joke, wasn't it?
That was pretty bad, but I laughed, and therefore it was good.
So what do you think of that music?
Oh, I really loved that track, both of them actually, especially Paint It Black. I mean, I've heard it many times before. Actually,
it's a very powerful song, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that sitar in it is really great.
Yeah, that's right. The unusual instrument in Paint It Black is the sitar, which of course comes from India, and playing it was an early member of the band, a multi-instrumentalist, Brian Jones. He'd studied that instrument, and he could play it pretty well, I think, when you're listening.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised Mick Jagger didn't do it.
I can't imagine Mick Jagger on the sitar.
Actually, it would have been quite funny.
He's the voice, not the musical player.
Yeah, you know what they should do?
What's that?
They should do a version of that song, yet everyone has a different role.
But I like as well the fact that Brian Jones, who was clearly immensely musical, he was very good at developing tunes for the sitar. And it fits very naturally in there.
I know, and it's not often you hear a sitar in a pop song. That's probably the only time.
Yeah, actually, a few other times. Interestingly enough, the Beatles were also experimenting with the sitar at that time, and they just used it, played by George Harrison, on a song called Norwegian Wood.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so and because I think there was a lot of influence coming from Asia into pop music at that time. They were very influenced by things they heard coming out of India.
Yeah, well, I mean, it works in that track nearly as well as a choir works in the next one.
Yeah, so the next song was another Rolling Stones hit, You Can't Always Get What You Want, and there's a classically trained choir in there, the London Bach Choir, and you can hear them quite clearly, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, this is really beautiful, the way they sing as well.
And there were some unusual instruments in that song as well. Congas and maracas. Well, I know what a maraca is. I had to actually look up what a conga was. It's a type of drum from Cuba.
It's strange in this track as well, because it's the sort of thing I imagine when listening to Buena Vista Social Club.
Yeah, you can imagine it used in Cuban music, can't you? And for the listener, let me tell you, a conga is like a tall, thin drum made of wood. And it comes in different types, but it produces different sounds. But it's definitely a type of drum.
I think we've seen it walking through the streets of Havana.
Yeah, I think you see them there, and it's used in the music. And what I would say is all this use of strange instruments, it does bring a different sound to pop music.
I suppose it makes it unique. I assume in the 60s and 70s they were looking for something new.
Well, they were, because you've got to remember, they didn't really have synthesizers at that time, of course.
Yep, well, soon they would.
So You Can't Always Get What You Want. That was one of the Rolling Stones' most popular pieces of music, Max, and remains so today.
Really? Wow. Well, I mean, you can't always get what you want, can you?
Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. That's life.
Yep, well, I mean, we got what we want. We got some great music from the Rolling Stones.
We certainly did, and they keep making it today. And our theme today is unusual musical instruments, as we keep saying. You play in orchestras, Max. What's the most unusual instrument you've ever seen?
Nothing.
Really? Yeah. Nothing at all?
Yeah, I've never seen anything not boring. Harpsichord, maybe.
Okay. Well, actually, we've got a song which uses harpsichord a bit later on.
Wow, really?
And we have got an incredibly unusual instrument later on, but we're saving that to almost the end of the program.
Yep. Well, we're going to make you wait.
We are going to make you wait to find out what it is. You will be very surprised. You'll be surprised as well, Max.
Yes. Well, not as surprised as you will be about our interview.
We'll have to see. Yes, Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones, who pioneered that sitar sound, often played unusual instruments. In a 1965 interview, he explained that the band achieved success by always doing something different and playing music that had an edge.
Well, we just provided the right thing at the right time. We've come along with a very raw sort of music where everything was rather sweet, you know, and sort of things were getting sort of sloppy and sentimental. In England they were anyway, and I believe so in America too, you know, with the sort of Cliff Richard sort of thing. And it was very soft, sweet music, and a new sort of tough element seemed to be growing up. I don't mean sort of tough kids, but a new sort of vital sort of urge seemed to be growing up amongst the young people, and we provided a music that had the same sort of vitality, and we came along at the right time with the right thing. So it's just sort of, you know, happened.
Don't feel the reaper, no.
Well, did you spot the unusual musical instrument there? Blue Oyster Cult with a band. That was their biggest success. Top 20 on both sides of the Atlantic in the mid to late 1970s. Max, I think that is a great, highly produced sound.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound like it's been repeated again and again and again and then supercut.
It sounds as though they put perfection. Huge amounts of production in it.
Yeah, how many hours do you think they spent
a
in the studio?
A long time, I can imagine, actually, because if you think, particularly in those days, in the 1970s, before computers were being really used, you had to record the sound many times and then dub and overdub until you got the deep sound you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, it's much easier now with digital, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be very quick now. You could have as many channels as you wanted, really,
exactly.
in a studio.
Whilst we spent hours and hours and hours dealing with it.
Now, did you identify an unusual musical instrument in all of that?
No, I didn't.
Really?
No.
I heard it. It was a percussion sound about halfway through because at one stage they use a cowbell.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. I knew that. I just didn't want to reveal the answer.
No sign of the cow, though. Do you think the cow was attached to the cowbell while they were playing it?
No, the cow's in Switzerland.
That would have been strange, wouldn't it? Take a cow into the studio with a cowbell. And I don't think the cow would have liked that very much.
That sounds like a sort of idea someone would have drunk, honestly.
That's probably true. Now, there's a line in there about 40,000 men and women every day dying, because that's what the Grim Reaper does. He goes around, apparently, collecting up the dead. That wasn't very accurate at the time. About 140,000 people a day died globally in the 1970s.
On happier notes.
The song got a good reception, often described as a production masterpiece, Max.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is quite catchy. I feel like I could listen to that again with that guitar part as well.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. And it was a hit over many years, actually, because first of all, it was a hit in America when it came out, I think, 1976. But it took about 2 years to make it globally. It didn't really become a hit in Britain until about 1978.
2 years?
Mm. Yeah, so I guess in those days music didn't travel as quickly, because now, of course, when something comes out, everyone can see it at the same time online. They couldn't do that in those days.
Yeah, I mean, now you can release something and 10 minutes later everyone around the world will have it.
Exactly. Well, we've got more songs featuring unusual instruments ahead. Max, you're going to be back later to talk about one of them. That theme is always present, by the way, as we get you up on your feet dancing for a few minutes now, as we always try to do in the middle of the show. And it's all on vinyl.
As for disco bass in the middle.
It's the Vinyl Countdown. Disco bass action.
drinking, lusting, and his hunger for power became known to more and more people. The demands to do something about this outrageous man became louder and louder.
Disco hit for Boney M. in 1978, a song about Rasputin, the influential advisor to Russia's Tsar, and the unusual instrument used couldn't be more fitting for the subject, a Russian balalaika. This is Jonathan Charles, more unusual instruments on the way, featured in songs from Los Lobos, The Troggs, David Bowie, and many others.
The best sound around.
It's the Vinyl Countdown.
With music just for you. Jonathan Charles.
We'll be right back.
Hard not to dance to that. Los Lobos were doing La Bamba in 1987, the first non-English language song to top the American charts, and the unusual instrument there in a pop hit was the accordion. And in this song, it was an ocarina. Never heard of it, you say? A vessel flute wind instrument is what it is. The Trogs. Wild Thing.
Wild Thing. Wild Thing, I think I love you. But I wanna know for sure. So come on, hold me tight.
One in America and Britain in 1966 for the Trogs. Max is going to be back in the studio again soon, right after the triple play. All with unusual instruments, all on vinyl.
It's the Vinyl Countdown!
1965!
Days that will excite and make you dream of me at night.
Dream of me and I.
I love the colorful clothes she wears and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Good vibrations.
She's giving me the excitations.
Good vibrations.
Close my eyes. She's somehow closer now. Softly smile, I know she must be kind. When I look in her eyes, she goes with me to a blossom room.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Ooh,
I'm picking up good vibrations.
Good vibrations.
She's giving me excitations.
Good vibrations.
Bye.
was the Vinyl Countdown triple play, all featuring our theme of unusual instruments. First, we heard the Yardbirds with For Your Love. That was written by Graham Goldman, who went on to be a driving force behind 10cc. The unusual instrument there on that top 10 hit was the harpsichord. Then it was the Beach Boys with Good Vibrations. That used a theremin, an instrument which produced electronic sounds a long time before synthesizers came into existence. Finally, we had Supertramp and Dreamer, and you'll never believe the unusual instrument on that. We're going to find out. Max is back in the studio, and he has been finding out some more about Dreamer.
Dreamer was a 1974 hit single by the band Supertramp from the album Crime of the Century. Wasn't it a bit of a crime of the century to call it?
Crime of the century.
Exactly. Crime of the century would be like stealing the Mona Lisa or something, not that.
Producing a great record.
However, it still peaked at number 13 in the UK singles chart. Dreamer was composed by Roger Hodgson on his Wurlitzer piano at his mother's house when he was just 19 years old. And here comes a crazy instrument. He bangs cardboard boxes for percussion. Supertramp then used that sound when they cut the studio recording. When the band played the track on the BBC music show The Old Grey Whistle Test, John Halliwell from the group could also be seen playing something interesting on top of his keyboard to achieve a certain effect. Supertramp went on to have loads of hit singles.
What was that interesting thing?
Well, you will find out in a minute.
It was a wine glass.
Surprise.
I don't know whether it had wine in it. I really ought to go back and have a look and see if I can find that clip, actually.
The thing is, though, if it had wine in it, wouldn't he drink it first?
Well, that's a great thing, isn't it? You can play your musical instrument, then you can drink it.
I mean, I've never drunk my violin before.
Can you imagine Max using cardboard boxes and wine glasses to make pop chart hit records?
No, I can imagine like a four-year-old doing it, but not a band of the caliber of Supertramp.
Maybe honestly. They never grew up. A great pop song, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's still an incredible pop song. Even that great, like, piano-y synthesis, Wurlitzer-type sound from that electric
piano. I think they
were
very good musicians, actually, and you hear it on some of their later tracks, of course. We played Breakfast in America before on the programme. We played the Logical song. I like that, the songs they were making and churning out in the 70s.
I know, the Logical song is one of my favourite songs, full stop.
I remember you saying you were going to put it on your phone.
Yeah, because I love it.
Well, we've had some very unusual instruments on today's show.
Yeah.
What's your favourite?
My favourite was probably that cowbell.
On the Don't Fear the Reaper by Blue Oyster Cult.
That yep. Sort.
I really like the cardboard boxes. I don't think you can beat cardboard boxes as an unusual instrument.
Yep, but my favourite instrument is my mobile phone.
They didn't have those, sadly, in the 1970s.
I know, it's a shame.
Now we've got one more song and unusual musical instrument still to come.
Speaking of unusual musical instruments, you can use your phone now to make an interesting sound when you follow us on Instagram and Twitter. On Instagram, we're at Vinyl Countdown Podcast, and on Twitter, we're at Vinyl Countdown 10.
We certainly are. We play out with Golden Years by David Bowie, and the unusual instrument, well, he whistles part of the song. See you next time with another box full of great vinyl.
Bye. We'll be right back.
Final Countdown!